قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير.
O Prophet, say to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, call upon those whom you fancy to be deities beside Allah. They own not even the smallest particle, neither in the heavens nor on the earth, nor do they have any share in the ownership of either of them, nor is any of them even a helper of Allah. O Prophet, in the preceding passages, the false notions of the polytheists about the hereafter were subjected to discussion. The discourse now turns to a refutation of polytheism. Say to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, it is God who makes or mars the destiny of individuals, nations, and empires. This is well illustrated by the accounts of the prophets David and Solomon, peace be upon them, and of the people of Saba. The unbelievers are then asked to invoke their false gods and seek their help for their success and prosperity, and to see if those deities have the power to change anyone's adversity into prosperity, or prosperity into adversity.
وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقُّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ.
No intercession can avail with Allah except for Him whom Allah permits to intercede. When their hearts are relieved of fright, they will ask the intercessors, "What did your Lord say?" They will reply, "He said what is right, and He is the High, the Great." No intercession can avail with Allah except for Him whom Allah permits.
There is no question of anyone owning the universe or being God's associate in its ownership or His helper in the creation of and control over the universe. Not only that, there is absolutely no one who can even intercede with God on anyone's behalf as a matter of right. The polytheists are lost in the misunderstanding that there are some beloved or powerful men of God whose intercession He will have to accept. A person will only be able to intercede for those in regard to whom God permits him to present such a plea.
When their hearts are relieved of fright, they will ask the intercessors, "What did your Lord say?" They will reply, "He said what is right, and He is the High, the Great."
The Quran here depicts a scene of the hereafter. A person who intends to intercede on someone's behalf will seek God's leave to do so. It is clear from the Quranic account that both the interceder and the one on whose behalf he wants to intercede will be in a state of fear and anxiety as they wait for God's response. Later, the interceder receives permission from on high, and the one who looks forward to intercession surmises from the interceder's countenance that things are satisfactory. It is then that he heaves a sigh of relief. Thereafter, it is confirmed that the permission to intercede has indeed been granted. All this is being said to give an idea of God's majesty. It should be clear that there can be no basis for anyone to entertain the notion that someone has the power to prevail upon God and obtain a person's acquittal by obstinately insisting, like a spoiled child, that his protege will have to be acquitted.
قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
Ask them, O Prophet, who provides you sustenance from the heavens and the earth? Say, Allah. Now, inevitably, only one of us is rightly guided, either we or you, and the other is in manifest error. Ask them, O Prophet, who provides you sustenance from the heavens and the earth? Say, Allah.
There is a subtle gap between the question and its answer by God. Let us recall the fact that the discourse was directed to the polytheists. They not only did not deny God's existence, but also admitted that He alone holds the keys to everyone's sustenance. Notwithstanding this, they associated others with God in His divinity. When faced with the question, who provides them with sustenance from the heavens and the earth, they were puzzled and did not know what to say. If they named someone other than God as the provider, this would be contrary to the belief of their own people, who might be prompted to contradict their contention. On the other hand, if they were to explicitly acknowledge God as the sole provider and sustainer, this too would naturally give rise to the question, if that is so, for what purpose are those whom they have taken as gods? The dilemma facing them made them speechless. They would neither deny God as the provider nor affirm it. Noting their inability to respond, God, who had put the question, volunteers a response, saying that God alone is the provider.
Now, inevitably, only one of us is rightly guided, either we or you, and the other is in manifest error.
This enshrines a valuable point pertaining to communicating one's standpoint with wisdom and sensitivity. The logical answer to the question posed above is to affirm that whoever serves and worships God alone is rightly guided, whereas those who serve anyone other than God are wallowing in error. In view of this, it should have been explicitly said, "You are in error while we are rightly guided." Such a straightforward statement, howsoever correct it might be, was bound to arouse adamance among the audience. In consequence, their hearts would have become averse to accepting the truth. Now, God's prophets are not raised merely to proclaim the truth. Rather, they are charged with the task to reform, with utmost wisdom, the people to whom they have been sent, people who have fallen prey to erroneous ways. Hence, God did not ask the prophet, peace be upon him, to tell them in plain words, "All of you are in manifest error while we alone are rightly guided." Instead, he asked to explain to the unbelievers that the deities they worshipped, as they were well aware, did not provide them with anything. Thus, there was a major difference between the Muslims and the unbelievers. The Muslims worshipped only the one true God who provides sustenance to all, whereas the unbelievers worship deities that do not provide any sustenance. With this difference readily apparent, it is now impossible for the positions of both parties to be true. Now, since the position of only one of the two parties is correct, inevitably the other party is in error. It was then left to them to reflect and decide which of the two positions was supported by persuasive evidence.
قُلْ لَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا أَجْرَمْنَا وَلَا نُسْأَلُ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ
Tell them, you will not be called to account about the guilt we committed, nor will we be called to account for what you did. Tell them, you will not be called to account about the guilt we committed, nor will we be called to account for what you did.
What was said just above, that the position of only one of the two parties can be correct, should have prompted the audience to think seriously. What is being said here reinforces the need to give very serious thought to the question under consideration. People are asked to realize that it is in every man's own interest to ensure that they arrive at the right decision as to which of the two positions is correct. For if one takes the wrong path, one is bound to face its dire consequences. Man should, therefore, think carefully before exercising his choice. The unbelievers should especially examine their position, lest they invest all that they have on a false proposition. This because any erroneous judgment on their part will hurt themselves rather than anyone else.
قُلْ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَنَا رَبُّنَا ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَهُوَ الْفَتَّاحُ الْعَلِيمُ
Say, our Lord will bring us together, and then He will rightly judge between us. He is the great judge, the all-knowing. Say, our Lord will bring us together, and then He will rightly judge between us. He is the great judge, the all-knowing.
The audience are being asked to consider another dimension of the matter. It is obvious that the believers and unbelievers are different from each other in this world as regards the truth and falsity of their doctrinal position. Things, however, do not end in this world. A day will come when all will have to stand before their Lord, who fully knows the truth and is also fully aware of believers as well as of unbelievers. On that day, God will judge as to who was in the right and who was not. On that day, God will also make it clear what efforts the believers made to explain the truth to the unbelievers. In like manner, he will also make plain the way the unbelievers reacted to that, and the myriad measures they resorted to in a fit of bigoted adamance to oppose the believers.
قُلْ أَرُونِيَ الَّذِينَ أَلْحَقْتُمْ بِهِ شُرَكَاءَ كَلَّا بَلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ
Say, show me those whom you have attached to him as his associates in divinity. Nay, Allah alone is most mighty, most wise. Say, show me those whom you have attached to him as his associates.
The unbelievers are warned that before taking such a huge chance based on their trust in these deities, they should be sure as to which of these deities is powerful enough to stand up as their defender and supporter before God and save them from his punishment.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ
O Prophet, we have not sent you forth but as a herald of good news and a warner for all mankind, but most people do not know.
O Prophet, we have not sent you forth but as a herald of good news and a warner for all mankind, but most people do not know.
It is emphasized here that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not raised as God's prophet only for the city of Mecca or for Arabia or for the people of his own time. Instead, he was raised as God's prophet for all mankind till the Day of Judgment. The Meccans of the time, however, did not appreciate the Prophet's true greatness. They were not aware how immense was the favor that God had bestowed on them by raising such a person among them. That the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was meant to be God's prophet to all mankind till the day of resurrection is clearly stated at several places in the Quran. And this Quran was revealed to me that I should warn you thereby and also whomsoever it may reach. Al-An'am 619. Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, O people, I am Allah's messenger to you all. Al-A'raf 7158. We have sent you forth as nothing but mercy to the people of the whole world. Al-Anbiya 21107. Most blessed is he who sent down this criterion on his servant to be a warner to all mankind. Al-Furqan 25:1. The same truth features in several ahadith in a variety of ways. According to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I have been sent down to the whites and the blacks alike. As for me, I have been sent to all human beings as such. Each of those who preceded me was sent to his own people. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Musnad, narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Abbas.
In the past, a prophet used to be raised specifically for his people, while I have been raised for all human beings as such. Bukhari, Kitab al-Tayammum, Bab Qaul Allah Ta'ala, Fa'alam Tajduman, Muslim, Kitab al-Masajid on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah. My coming as a prophet and the last day are like these, that is, close together like one's two fingers. Bukhari, Kitab al-Rikaq, Bab Qaul al-Nabi, Buithu, Ana wa al-Sa al-Hatain, Muslim, Kitib al-Jumu'ah, Bab Takfif al-Salah wa al-Khutbah. The last hadith stresses that in the same manner that no third finger separated the Prophet's two fingers from one another, there will be no prophet between the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the last day.
وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
They ask you, when will this promise of resurrection be fulfilled, if what you say is true?
They ask you, when will this promise of resurrection be fulfilled, if what you say is true?
The Quran had said,
Say, our Lord will bring us together and then He will rightly judge between them. See verse 26. Alluding to this, the unbelievers asked the Prophet, when will that promised day come? They claimed that they had been remonstrating with the Prophet, peace be upon him, for a long time. In the course of this remonstration, they had often charged him with falsehood and had publicly opposed him in very vehement terms. What, they would arrogantly ask then, keeps that judgment from visiting them?
قُلْ لَكُمْ مِيعَادُ يَوْمٍ لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ.
Say, your day is appointed. You can neither hold back its coming by an hour, nor hasten it by an hour.
Say, your day is appointed. You can neither hold back its coming by an hour, nor hasten it by an hour.
God's answer to the query stresses that His decree is not subject to the wishes of His creatures. He is not obliged to do something according to the schedule laid down by others. He does everything in accordance with His will. His scheme of things is well beyond man's grasp. Man does not know the term God has determined for mankind's performance in this world. He also does not know how individuals and nations will be tested in the world, nor does he know when God will fold up the present order of existence and summon all, be they of earlier or recent times, to stand before him for judgment. This hour can neither be held back nor hastened by as much as a second at the behest of others.